Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am a small business advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, Third Ingredient, with the number 3, thirdingredient.com. Howard Ross is our guest, our new friend, author of a new book, Our Search for Belonging. Howard, tell us how we can find you and your book.
The book is on really all major sellers, and I can be reached actually directly at howard@udarta.com.
And your website?
Reach me right now. We're doing a new website coming up, which will be at howardjross.com.
Howardjross.com. All right, so check that out. Yep. We're talking about this cultural divide that we've got in America today. Can it be overcome? And I was bringing up the point earlier. I want to talk quickly about two things, Howard. I know you wanted to finish your thought on the media, because I brought that up. I really do believe that's a very unfortunate lack of leadership that we have in the media today, where people are editorializing who we used to think were reporters. And I see a lot of editorializing today, not a lot of reporting, not a lot of true reporting. And to me, that's one of the ways to tell if a media organization is contributing or hurting, is if they're doing more editorializing than they are reporting for both sides. And then I want to talk about how all this impacts our bottom line in our businesses.
Sure. Well, I think, Jim, just very quickly about the media, I think we have to understand that, as I said before, structure creates behavior, and there are fundamental structural changes in the media. It used to be we had three major networks. They had to appeal to everybody, so you couldn't take a strong political point of view and turn off half your audience. It just wasn't a viable economic model. In addition to that, we had ethic laws that said, you know, you can't, people in the media could only be but so opinionated. You had to balance things out. So if we're old enough to remember when Walter Cronkite came out against the Vietnam War, it was seismic. Lyndon Johnson said, when we lost Walter Cronkite, we lost the war. Now we've got these cable news stations, which only have to appeal to 21% of the audience to have a financially successful product. And so how do you do that? You target your base. You throw red meat. If you're Fox, you throw it to the right. If you're MSNBC, you throw it to the left. And then you throw in that social media where we determine our friends based on agreement and we unfriend people who disagree with us. You throw in, you know, the news streams that we get that are also leaning one direction or the other. And pretty soon we create these echo chambers of our own making. We participate in our own propagandizing.
Yeah.
And so it's so important for people to reach outside of that. Now, how does that affect us?
But that leaches into our businesses when people show up at work.
Exactly. Exactly right. Because look, I wake up in the morning and I work out and I watch my news stations. Now, in my particular case, I consciously watch multiple news stations from different angles. But most people have their set station they watch in the morning. They get their fill of the propaganda for that morning, and they come to work agitated or irritated.
And we expect them to sit down at a table,
whatever it is.
We expect them to sit down at a table and work together.
That's right. Now you sit next to the person who voted differently than you, and that affects your relationship. And then, of course, the question is, how much can we talk about this? Because we know how toxic it's become. It's not like it used to be, where you and I, Jim, as a liberal and a conservative, could argue over lunch and have a spirited debate, and then pat each other on the back and go back to work. You know, it's now we've identified ourselves as members of the opposite tribe, almost like gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it begins to affect how much I like you, how much I trust you, how much I want to work with you.
And that's the intellectual honesty part I was talking about earlier. Because if you and I are intellectually honest, we're both truly intellectually honest, you could say one morning, Jim, I want to take your side and you take my side. Let's do that for 5 minutes.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Jim, because I grew up in a home in which my parents would occasionally, we'd have a little transistor TV on the dinner table and we'd watch the news while we were eating, and then my parents would occasionally stop and they'd say, okay, you argue for that point of view about that. You argue for that point of view. And we could choose. It was like a little debate club in our hands. But it forced us to be able to think, what is that other person's point of view? Not do I agree with them, but where are they coming from?
What should managers do today to stop this kind of back and forth, this tribalism, from hurting the company, from having to fire people? What do we say to people? What do we require of them?
Well, I think that there are a number of things that we need to do. One thing is we need to be very clear what our goal is in terms of working together, why we're here to work together, and what's that about. And then I think we need to create some clear guidelines about what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior and that sort of thing. But the answer is not just to ignore this stuff. In fact, there's some really great companies now. Target is one, General Mills is another, who are conducting what they call courageous conversations, where the employees together to talk about challenging issues. But they'll do it in a context of a facilitated conversation where people are given some guidelines how to discuss and in which the purpose is not to agree or disagree. The purpose is to understand each other's point of view.
Well,
and I think we can do things like that. We can do things like that at the workplace.
What about this? I say to the audience, okay, I say to the team, okay, Howard, do you think Jim's a bad guy? You're going to say no. Hey, Jim, do you think Howard's a bad guy? I'm going to say no. Then when you guys discuss things, why do you act like each other's a bad guy? Can't you discuss it without doing that? How about that?
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. When you begin to set some guidelines and encourage people in that way, and we begin to realize that human beings are not their opinions about things. You know, there's something deeper than us about opinions. And one of the things I've been trying to do is to go out on social media and to engage with people. And I have a number of people from the other side politically who I have very, very strong debates about, or with, rather, and we challenge each other's ideas, but we don't insult each other. One of them, this guy, for example, who lives in Florida, his name's Paul, and he and I have been doing this now for almost 3 years. And just recently, during one debate we were having, one of his friends weighed in and started cussing me out on over Twitter, and you know, being very rude and insulting.
He said, do not.
It's exactly right. He said, "Do not insult this man." He and I disagree, but he's a man of integrity.
I got to wrap it up, Howard. The book is called "Our Search for Belonging."
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.